And so people really want the program, and I just can't imagine that we wouldn't have the program in Haines.
The Big Brothers Big Sisters program suffers funding cuts. And a preview of the Haines Borough Assembly meeting. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The Big Brothers Big Sisters program in Alaska is suffering from a lack of funding, and the result will affect the mentoring program in Haines. The statewide organization announced late last week it did not receive a substantial source of funding in the state capital budget, and therefore is laying off some staff, not filling some positions, and putting three community programs on maintenance status, including Haines. That means no new volunteers or youth will be accepted into the program, and the office in downtown Haines will be shut for the next several months. Big Brothers Big Sisters CEO Tabor Raybaum in Anchorage said the organization went after state funds after several federal grants abruptly ended recently. The federal grants were what helped establish the Haines branch of the organization about 7 years ago.
Like most Alaska nonprofits, we in the past, actually for many years, were over-reliant on federal government funding. And actually, federal government funding allowed us to expand beyond the three urban communities in the state. And, you know, Haines was one of the happy places that we expanded to.
The board of directors is working to find new funding sources, Raybaum said, including federal, state, and private grants, which may allow the Haines, Sitka, and Bethel offices to open again later this year. But Raybaum said the organization is also looking to establish more local funding sources for the community branches that would reduce the reliance on the statewide organization.
In fact, it's really more important now than ever that we work closely with the Haines community to find ways to more fully sustain the Haines program, as it continues to be, even with the pending budget reductions, substantially subsidized by the statewide organization.
Sarah Elliott is the Haines Community Director of the organization and staffs the local office. She works with Helen Mooney, who works as a match support from her home, calling volunteers and youths in the program to check in with them and offer support. Elliott said she will now also work from her home as a statewide match support. She will not keep office hours and won't work on fundraising or administrative duties, but she's hopeful she'll be able to staff the Haines office again in a few months.
I'm taking a very positive stance on it all. I'm hoping that we find the money, and basically it's just, it won't really affect the matches because they still have a match support specialist through Helen Mooney. And so I'm hoping that people that are already part of the program won't really notice, and we'll get more money, and then my position will be reactivated.
But she also knows that Big Brothers Big Sisters competes with several nonprofits for support and funding in the area.
You know, I informed our parents and guardians and our bigs about what was going on because I thought it was important for everyone to understand what was happening. And I've had so many people just say, oh, we would like to help out in any way, and, you know, do you need any volunteers for anything? And so people really want the program, and I just can't imagine that we wouldn't have the program in Haines. I think that Haines is an extremely generous community, and Haines always steps up and helps. But I also think that we have a lot of programs and a lot of nonprofits and a lot of really, really great organizations that Big Brothers Big Sisters is included in that, and we only have so much money in the community.
There are more than 30 active matches of an adult volunteer and child in the Haines program that get together once or twice a month. Elliott said those matches should continue meeting, and events already planned for the summer will go on as scheduled. Raybaum said the program continues to have an impact on the children involved.
Research recently and even over the long term has really substantiated the tremendous and positive life-changing impact of the Big Brothers Big Sisters program, both in terms of children's life trajectories, their educational outcomes, and their ability to be more resilient and resist risky behaviors. So I think it's something that people realize that this is a program that works. This is a program that we need to invest in because the future of our kids across the state really depend on it.
For more information, visit Big Brothers Big Sisters of Alaska at bbbsak.org or find a link at our news page at khns.org. The Haines Borough Assembly has a packed agenda for its Tuesday meeting this week. The Assembly will vote whether to remove the Department of Economic Development from the borough. Borough Code created the department and a director to lead it, but according to Mayor Stephanie Scott, the department has never been established or staffed. The mayor has suggested that economic development be handled by a borough executive assistant. The assembly will have a first hearing on clarifying the procedure for filling a vacancy on its group. The proposed ordinance would only require a majority of the remaining members, rather than a supermajority, to fill any unexpected vacancy and until an election is held. An ordinance being introduced later in the meeting would place an amendment on the October general election ballot, asking voters to decide if an assembly vacancy should be filled by special election. Mayor Scott asked for the ordinance to be presented to the assembly. She wrote to the group that the ordinance would not require a special election in case of an assembly vacancy. It would just allow the assembly to set a special election instead of filling it by appointment, if the members choose. Among resolutions up for vote Tuesday, the assembly will discuss whether to authorize the third phase of the Haines Street Improvement Project. The $1.3 million project would include work on 4th Avenue, View Street, and 3rd Avenue. The borough received funds for the project in the 2012 state capital budget. Another resolution, if passed, would approve a borough agreement with the state to begin improvements on Beach Road and Front Street. Both projects could begin this summer if approved by the assembly. Several ordinances will be introduced at Tuesday's meeting. One would allow voters to decide in the October general election if Haines Borough should be exempt from a state financial disclosure law. The law requires officials and candidates for office to file extensive financial disclosure forms. But many small communities in the state have voted to exempt their officials from the law. Enacting the ordinance would not affect financial reporting requirements already in borough code. Other ordinances up for introduction include one approving a revised fee schedule for harbor usage. The assembly meets at 6:30 Tuesday evening in assembly chambers. It will also meet beginning at 4:30 on Tuesday for a budget work session to discuss community funding requests, fire service areas, medical service, water, sewer, and museums. Angoon Senator Albert Kukesh focused on rural water and sewer issues this legislative session. That, school meal programs, and transportation issues are of interest to his district. That's because it includes more than 100 villages and small cities, including Haines and Skagway. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Kukesh chairs the Senate Transportation Committee. One of its big issues this year was part of the state's plan for Southeast. One draft proposal focused mostly on roads, with short-run ferries connecting pavement in mainland and island communities.
Oh, man, there had people up in arms even though it was only a draft plan. Something like that wasn't acceptable to most of the people in the district, including myself. Because I looked at that and I said to myself, well, that means walk-on people can't afford to ride the ferry anymore because you have to have a car to get in between the land links.
State officials said it was only one of many options and likely wouldn't go anywhere. So far, it hasn't. One of Kukesh's main priorities this session was a measure creating a water and sewer task force. He wanted to focus attention and money on the approximately 6,000 homes in rural Alaska without sewer or water hookups. The task force legislation didn't make it through, but he says some of the money did.
We may not take a big bite out of the whole thing, but I think with the money we have in there now this year for new systems into the villages that don't have water at all, we probably could retire maybe 25% of them next year if we can get all of the funding put into place. We have most of it already now.
The Angoon Democrat is also pleased with the many projects in his Senate district that made it into the capital budget. That includes rescue boats, health clinics, harbor improvements, and building repairs. There's also money for operations and debt retirement for the Inter-Island Ferry Authority, which links Prince of Wales Island to Ketchikan. But he doesn't want to be overconfident.
I'm not going to count anything or jump up and down until after the governor's veto process is over. I think everybody has to be aware of that the governor still has the opportunity to say no to some of those projects, and he said he would to those that he felt were unnecessary, even though we did stay under the spending cap that he wanted us to stay under.
Kukesh also hoped to push through increased funding for school meal programs. He says that would have helped low-income students be ready for the classroom.
Even though I was concerned about it, Willikowski and French were concerned about it, others were concerned about it, it just never got to the point of getting to the level where enough people were concerned about it so that we can push it through.
One of the year's biggest legislative battles was over oil taxes. Governor Sean Parnell called for lawmakers to lower them to spur exploration and development. Kukesh and the rest of the Senate's bipartisan working group agreed to incentives for new fields, but they said no to the rest.
And we thought there were so many people out in Alaska that did not like the governor's position on tax breaks. Many called it a $2 billion giveaway. I don't know whether it was, would have been eventually that number or not, but it would have been close. So I guess I was comfortable in not supporting the governor's position in this, but also being supportive and liking the idea that we were going to give tax breaks to somebody who discovered new fields.
This could be the Angoon Democrats' final term in office. New legislative district boundaries put him in a difficult race against Sitka Republican Bert Stedman. Kukesh says he plans to run hard to keep a Southeast Native rural perspective in the legislature, but the courts have twice struck down the official plan, leaving him wondering which race he's in.
Do I know I can start fundraising now and I can start campaigning, but I don't know where to start campaigning. That's true of most people in Alaska. Where's our district? What's my lines look like?
If elected, Kukesh says he'll push for a seat on the Budget Writing Finance Committee, and he hopes another bipartisan majority forms in the Senate. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting.
This is Margaret Friedenauer for KHNS News. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for his report.